A few years ago, there was a book published entitled Limits, The Search for Values. And in that book, the author argues that after all of those self-indulgent years of the 1960s and 70s, when people went about, especially the young, doing their own thing, as they said, each going out seeking what they called self-fulfillment. And as they felt so free to go on breaking all of their commitments in life in order to promote, as they said, so-called personal growth. The author says that now we have come to a new era in which at least some people have begun to recognize that there are indeed necessary limits to our human freedom. That at least some people today are beginning to take more seriously the need that we all have for commitments that are made seriously and then kept honorably, no matter what the difficulties are that come up. The author feels that at least some people today are beginning to realize that commitments and fidelities in life are absolutely essential to human happiness. And that those people who have become the slaves to all of those impulses of the moment are just as much in prison as to those other people who are caught up in the tentacles of legalistic regulations. And that is exactly what the story in the gospel today is all about. That for us people to keep commitments, honoring the word that we make, doing the things that we promise to do, are done not just because of law and regulation and obligations, but we do those things, we keep our commitments because of that fundamental nature of reality that is part of our life. One honors one's parents. One does the things that parents have a right to expect and that they reasonably ask of their children. The gospel story today tells us that the important thing in life is not just verbal fidelity, not just for a child to say, yes, I am committed and I will honor my commitment. It's not words that count. What counts is fidelity reflected in your behavior. Do you really do what you promise to do? Doing the things that one ought to do, not simply because the law says so, but because the very nature of our commitment requires it. It means that classic example that we heard in the gospel story has the same kind of human insight that psychologists of the last two decades have discovered. Namely, that we human beings cannot be happy without making commitments and sticking to them. After these last 20 years of narcissistic behavior, of what we now call the me generation, the most self-centered that we've witnessed for a long time. There are times, of course, when a mistaken commitment can be revised, reconsidered. No one, not even the church today, would insist on an absolute, total irrevocability of commitment. And yet, what psychologists have discovered is that it is essential to human happiness that the presumption should always be in favor of the durability of the commitment. Once it has been seriously made, until the case against it becomes overwhelmingly clear. We should measure our affection, not like youngsters, by the ardor of its passion, but rather by its strength and constancy. Those are the words thousands of years ago from Cicero. And speaking in Latin, in its original Latin sense, that beautiful word, fidelity, really is a word that is a strong, positive root in Latin that represents loyalty to a commitment once made. That's what fidelity means. Fidelity describes not the things that are not done, but fidelity describes the things that are done. What is so unfortunate is that today in the English language, the word fidelity has taken on a negative meaning, which it does not really have at all in its root meaning. That's why it's so unfortunate that nowadays people will say in a negative fashion that a faithful husband, a faithful wife, will not commit adultery, that a faithful lover is one who does not betray love, that a faithful public servant is one who does not engage in corruption or trickery, that a faithful friend is the one who does not let you down. The fact of the matter is just the opposite. The real meaning of fidelity is that a faithful friend is the one who will actively and positively help you when you need help. That a faithful lover is the one who will deepen, enrich, and strengthen the love between the two. A faithful politician is one who will vigorously and actively pursue the responsibilities of his office. And the faithful spouse is not just someone who stays out of someone else's bed, as rather the one who works for the fulfillment of the love between the two people. That honoring the commitment of marriage does not mean principally and primarily that you do not end up getting divorced. It means something much more basic, that you will go on doing everything you can to promote, facilitate the growth and the richness of love in married life. Looking back now, the real problems of the 1960s and 70s was that people deceived themselves into thinking that commitment merely meant negative obligations. They said, if that's all commitment means, then we find it unattractive, distasteful, narrow, rigid, inhibiting. But you see, they were wrong in their concept of what commitment means. They saw it from a negative angle only, which was wrong. Fidelity is a positive thing. Commitments are not prohibitions. Rather, commitments are very deep and challenging possibilities in life. When Jesus made a commitment to someone, he promised to do everything in his power to promote the growth and affection and dedication and loyalty to the other person. And when we perceive commitment then in that fashion, as we should, commitment is not a restriction or some kind of constraint, but commitment is really one of the most extraordinary challenges that we people are able to face in life. It is able to bring out the very best within us. It means that commitments are never intended for timid children why people too young to marry should never consider that until they are ready. Commitments are intended for adults who finally have reached the stage where they recognize the strength and the wisdom to be able to accept the challenge of open relationships with other people in whatever way. Commitments, then, do not reduce us just to cautious keeping of the rules, but they challenge us to the very depths of our life, our patience, our skills, our very capacity to engage in love, which is never, ever easy. It is commitment that demands that we do everything in our power to break through the resistance that we all have to love within our personality and that of the one that we love. A commitment does not weaken our character development. A real commitment brings out the very best that is within us. It demands that we grow up and become courageous, imaginative, creative in handling the important situations in life. It means that the people who go on through life acting like children, cowardly, dull, prosaic, simply are not yet ready for the challenge of commitment based on fidelity. If at any time we discover we're simply not yet ready to try something new, to start out all over again, to write off the mistakes of the immediate past, to begin afresh with a clean slate, if we're not yet ready to accept the enormous challenge of commitment, then we need to wait until we are. All of you, I know, remember the end of that now classic movie, Kramer versus Kramer. And at the very end, we finally get a strong hint that the husband and wife are discovering one another all over again. Discovering, just possibly, that they made the mistake not of falling in love in the first place, but over the years, permitting themselves to fall out of love. And that is the meaning of today's gospel story. It opens to each of us the possibility that all the loves in our lives can always be renewed if only we are brave enough to try. Only the person who has faith in herself, in himself, is able to be faithful to another person. Only the person who has faith in herself is able to be faithful to other people.